Well, good morning. Welcome to our morning's worship service here from St. Mellon's Baptist Church in Cardiff. Let me read a few verses to you from the first letter of John and chapter 1 that really brings into focus what we're doing here this morning. Myself in the chapel and you in your homes, gathering as families or individuals or couples. Here's what we are seeking to do. John writes this: "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy and your joy may be complete." Here's our great, great privilege this morning. We have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, because of the gospel planned in eternity, effected in time, declared by the apostles, applied by the Holy Spirit. We have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. But we also have fellowship with one another. And all in the chapel here, it's myself and Nick on the IT. You in your homes, maybe you're by yourself or as a family, fellowshipping with the living God, fellowshipping together. I'd really want to emphasize our Zoom meeting at 12 o'clock. If there's any opportunity, if you have the program, you'll have the code, join us at 12 o'clock. It's good, vital that we maintain fellowship with each other and encourage one another. There'll be opportunity too for breakout smaller groups during that half an hour together. This is our business, our privilege this morning, to worship the living God and to enjoy fellowship with Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Let's begin with our first hymn. It focuses on the gospel. "I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me." Well, again, I really am amazed by the little orchestra that we have here, the amount of sound that they can produce. And ladies, a wonderful descant coming in there in the final verse, all to the praise and glory of God. I will sing the wondrous story. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely at the wondrous story. Now, children, a few words to you in particular. At this point, I have my list of all the children who are regularly tuning in. I've had some comments that folks, I'm reading the list the same way around, and some children are always coming last, so I'm going to read the list backwards. We've got one new addition I've been reminded of. I think Charlotte is joining us, probably too young to recognise her voice, but Charlotte Casterton. And then we have Lucy and Emily and Rosie and Oliver and Angus and Joe and Isabel and Henry and Jacob and Owen and Heidi and Emmy and Levi and Jason and Lucy and Eli and Nathan and Katie and Peter and Ruby and Dan and Tom and Luke and Daniel and Astra and Ava and Sam, Poppy, Georgia, Reuben, Leah, Elliot, Isaac, Oscar, Calvin, Sophie, Ella, Bethan, Isla, Jacob, Betsy, Alfie, Julissa. These are all the primary school age children who are generally in the chapel here. I want to say at the start, children, there will be five words for you to listen out for. So get your pen and paper ready. And after the children's story, if I remember, I'll read out the list of five words you need to listen out for. If you check them off and your parents send me a WhatsApp photo of your sheet, doesn't matter how many you've done or how few, I just need a photo of the sheet and you'll have your little reward during the coming week. But this morning, children, I was quite busy and I've been quite creative and I've made some paper aeroplanes. And not only did I make them, but I decorated them with felt-tip pens. And paper aeroplanes are for a very definite reason. Let me show you now what paper aeroplanes do. I've got a big chapel building here. Let's see how far this one might go. I'm going to point it towards the camera. Paper aeroplanes are for flying. Look at that go. Wow, almost hit the camera there. I've got another one to let you see. It's going to come straight towards the camera. Can you catch it? Paper aeroplane. Oh, it's hit the camera. It hit the camera. That was an amazing shot there. And paper aeroplanes are made to fly. God made you and me for one wonderful reason, and that is to know him. And Christianity and eternal life is all about knowing God. Eternal life isn't just a length of life, it's a quality of life. It's knowing the creator of the universe. But we have a problem. Now, I've made another paper aeroplane here, and it's got a problem. Here it is. It looks very much like the other paper aeroplanes, but there is a problem. It's dragging something. Can you see this? It's got a 2 kilogram weight. Now, if I throw this, it's not going to go very far. It just goes down, because it's got a weight on it that's dragging it down. You and I, we were made to know God, but because of sin, we're being dragged down. We're being dragged down. Jesus Christ came into the world to release us from our sin, to set us free. Wonderful verse in the Bible, John 8 and verse 36. He who the Son sets free shall be free indeed, free from sin, its power, its pollution, and its penalty. And children, if you just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he lived for you, he died for you, he rose again. That weight of sin is removed, and you will be free to fly and to know God, and at last to go to heaven. So thank you for listening, children. Don't forget that. The most important thing is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to make sure your sin has been forgiven. Now, if you have your pen and your paper, then here are five words to listen out for during the message later on this morning. Simeon, Jesus, we always have Jesus in the list, salvation, it's a great word, so Simeon, Jesus, salvation, never, and a wonderful word to finish with, Peter Milsom used it a lot last week, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, Simeon, Jesus, salvation, never, and hallelujah. Five words to listen out for, children, in the sermon. Now, I've got a reading for us this morning. We're in Luke chapter 2 and verses 25 through to 32. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. Amen. May God bless his word to us and give us understanding and help us to respond in a right way to his word. Now, let's pray together, shall we? Let's all pray. Father, how we thank you for the glory of the gospel, planned in the misty, distant depths of eternity past, counseled forth by the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father sending the Son being willing to come, and the Holy Spirit being glad to apply the merits of the Son to the lives of poor, lost sinners. We thank you for the Old Testament scriptures. We thank you for the many types and shadows and prophecies and pointers towards the coming consolation of Israel, the one who would take away the sins of the whole world, any who will simply repent towards God and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he ever came into the world. He lived, he died, he rose, he ascended, he prayed the Father who sent the Holy Spirit, displayed in glorious splendor. We can read about it, we can think on it, we can hear it preached about, we can tell others about it. Now, this is the only thing that matters, to tell and to sing and to display the wondrous story of the Christ who died for sinners. He left his home in glory and swapped it for the cross of Calvary. What an incredible, what a remarkable story. And we have to admit again and confess, left to ourselves, we could never believe it. We would refuse you still. So how we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit who gives us new life and that ability to see and to hear and to repent and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who dwells in each true believer, who gives us power to overcome the weight of sin that continually seeks to drag us down. Oh, we pray that we would greatly cooperate with the work of the Spirit. We would use generously the means of grace you give to us, such as this that's before us this morning. Help us to focus on what is necessary, Jesus Christ, his life and death and resurrection. Equip us to live for him. Equip us to speak for him. Today, give us those divine encounters where we might share the gospel with poor, lost, needy sinners. We pray for those in the life of the church here going through times of difficulty, many having difficult treatments. We think of David Kingdon in hospital at this time. Pray, Lord, you be very much with him. Others facing operations and procedures. Others wondering about the future. Will there be a job? Where would I find my next job? What do I do with the life that you've given to me? Oh, Lord, lead and guide as we seek you. We pray you'd reveal your sovereign will to us as individuals and as a gathered church as well. Passing through this time of lockdown, we do pray you'd speak to us as a church, help us as a church. Think of this coming Wednesday and the prayer meeting for the whole church. Help us to use that time to seek you as a church. What would you have us learn? What would you have us do? What would you have us do going forward from this situation? We pray, Lord, for your mercies to be upon us, that we soon might be able to meet together physically in a meaningful way. But while that time still waits, help us to grasp every opportunity to use the things you've graciously given to us to continue to worship and to encourage one another. So, Father, we commend each other to your care. As we sing a further hymn, then look into your word. We do pray you would speak to us, each and every one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the service I've purposely made a little shorter today by missing out a hymn, and perhaps I won't preach for quite as long. I know there are difficulties, certainly, if you've got children with you. I long to hear that children have stayed in for the whole service and used the worksheets that Anne-Marie wonderfully makes each week, and maybe tick off the words. Children, if you can stay in, please do stay in and listen quietly and worship God with your hearts. And join us on Zoom at 12 o'clock as well. So some announcements before we sing our hymn and then look at the message together. Obviously, again, Zoom meeting at 12 o'clock with breakout groups. Pull out the stops. Be great to see many there. It encourages me to see you, and it encourages other people as well. So come along, bring the kids, breakout rooms there as well. This afternoon, the first of the addresses I gave to the Ballon Ministers Conference a couple of weeks ago will be put online for us to see as a church. There are three, so one this week, one next week, and one the week after, God willing. Three messages given to the Ballon Ministers Conference. They'll be uploaded at some point this afternoon. And then this evening at 8 o'clock, the kids are nicely tucked in bed. Do join us for Zoom fellowship at 8 o'clock. And that's an opportunity to maybe ask questions about the ministry you've heard over the last 3 weeks and the things you've heard on Sunday afternoons. Last Sunday afternoon, there was my little message, 25 minutes, that's all it was, on fasting. And it's placed in the life of the individual believer and in the life of the church. I believe it's a much neglected discipline and has great benefits if we approach it biblically to the individual and to a gathered church as well. But perhaps you have questions on that particular aspect or anything of the morning ministry or the evening ministries that we've been hearing. Do join us on Zoom for about 45 minutes, a time for question, answer and discussion together. And the usual meetings in the week, Tuesday prayer fellowship at 11. And then on Wednesday, the whole church prayer meeting, Peter Milsom, continuing the theme of great Bible words, 20-minute message, then into breakout groups for maybe 10 minutes discussion and maybe 20 minutes to pray together, then back together for a final hymn. That's Wednesday evening. Again, pull out the stops. If you can't be there for the whole time, be there for some of the time to seek the Lord together. Thursday, kids' Zoom club at 2 o'clock. Friday, the YPF. We're looking at an apologetic series at the moment. And this Friday evening, 7:45 on Zoom, where has everything come from? We're looking at Big Bang and why is there something rather than nothing? And where did God come from? That's this Friday, 7:45 Zoom YPF. And then next Sunday, of course, the regular service and the other meetings. Well, then let's sing a further hymn. Then we'll look into the Word of God together. We've sung this a couple of times recently. It's a lovely hymn based on personal testimony. I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. If we can remember nothing else, He is vital. Hallelujah. Jesus is my life. Strive to make that and to keep that a constant reality. Thank you.
once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that wrong life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would know a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse to stay. But as I ran, my help outraced, indifferent to
wonderful, wonderful words. It's my prayer that I might mean them from my heart, and that each of us listening this morning might mean them from my heart, our hearts. Now, Lord, I would be yours alone. I don't care what the world thinks about me. I care deeply what you think and what you proclaim. I would be yours alone and live so all might see. The strength to follow your commands could never come from me. It's all of grace. Oh, Father, use my ransomed life. I am not my own. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Use my ransomed life in any way you choose. And let my song forever be, my only boast is you. Well, we're back in Luke's Gospel then, Sunday mornings, and Jesus is being presented at the temple. We looked at that last time. But we're picking up the narrative at verse 25. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now, and here's a little word which means we ought to take note of this quite surprising little insert into the narrative. For a man called Simeon. There's another person we're going to meet in a week or so's time, a lady called Anna. Two people will have a divine encounter with the Lord Christ there in Jerusalem at the temple that day. And here's the astonishing thing. There would have been tens and tens and tens of thousands of people in Jerusalem. But only two really understood what was happening on this occasion. And they made their way to the temple and had a divinely arranged encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and saw his salvation. I was thinking driving up this morning that today it's exactly a year since we held our special outreach as a local church, and we distributed 10,000 newspapers around the local area and held many special meetings here in the church and in other places as well to make the gospel message known. What was the result of all that? Who was it special to? Well, there are two ladies who began attending. I won't name them. They normally sit down here on my left on a Sunday morning, and I know they do listen on YouTube and miss being here with us. But of all the thousands of people in the area, there was a divinely arranged encounter for two in particular that we know of, because the narrative here goes on to say there were many others waiting for the consolation of Israel there in Jerusalem, but they're not named here. And perhaps we'll never know how many were affected by those 10,000 testimony newspapers that went out. It's likely to be many more than the two that we know of. Simeon, let's focus back on him. Two points about him. Who was he and what happened? Who was he? Well, it's his only mention in the Bible. Nowhere else in the Bible is Simeon mentioned. We do know this. He was an ordinary man. He didn't have high office or position. We know nothing much about his background, but he was an ordinary man. And that's the way of the gospel. It's multiplied throughout time and history and geographical locations. It is ordinary people like you and I who are profoundly affected by the power of the gospel. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. He's writing to a church there in Corinth, is Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Not many powerful, wise, or of noble birth. Selina, the Countess of Huntingdon, often felt thought on this particular verse. Now, she was born of nobility during the time of the great evangelical awakening here in Britain. She was greatly used to help the Calvinistic Methodists. She gave entrance to preachers like John Wesley and George Whitfield into the royal court, and had many noble gatherings in her home that the higher echelons of society might hear the gospel. It said she spent £100,000 on building chapels and helping ministers. That translates to around about £70 million in today's standards. 64 chapels were built and many ministers were supported. But she thought on this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, and she said, I thank God for the letter M. Not many. It doesn't say not any. There were some. Oh, thank God for the letter M. Simeon. An ordinary man. We go on and we learn about him. The very name Simeon means obedient and listening. What a great disposition to have. One who listens and one who is obedient to what is said. We're told that he was righteous and devout. And we don't learn a lot about him, but we learn this. He was righteous and devout. And really, you know, that's all that counts. You might say of such and such a person, or who is he? Well, he's a Premier League footballer, or she's a pop star, he's a president, and or he can do 150 keepy-uppies on each foot and then onto his head, or he can spin 80 plates, he can eat fire, he can juggle five balls at the same time. Really, of all that might be said about you and me, can this be said? Righteous and devout. Righteous, the heart situation, the inner me, the inner disposition. Devout, my outward actions, disposition and decision, heart and actions, righteous and devout. That's all that counts. That's all that really counts in the final analysis. And it's what is said of Simeon here. How did he become righteous, right in the sight of God, and devout in his outward actions? How did this happen? Well, we're told something else about Simeon. He was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word waiting here is a very powerful one in the original Greek. It means waiting with a patient confidence. Waiting with a patient confidence. Simeon had heard. Simeon had read. God had spoken. It was written. God had promised that he would send one who would be the consolation of Israel. Israel's comfort and refreshment. God had promised he would send a rescuer. God had promised he would send a saviour from sin that drags us down to hell, like the little aeroplane that couldn't fly. One who would untie that string of sin to help us to soar, to make us soar to God here and now, and to glory when we die as we must. Simeon had heard, and Simeon had believed. And because he had believed, he was waiting with a patient confidence for the consolation of Israel to arrive. The Old Testament, hundreds of prophecies, 60 major prophecies about the Savior who was to come and rescue and redeem Israel from their sin. He believed. He believed the word. And so it was credited to him as righteousness. How do we get righteousness in our hearts? How do we have a right standing with God? We need to believe what God has said. Now, Simeon was looking ahead to promises still to be fulfilled. We are looking back on great events that have been fulfilled. That the Savior came into the world. God became a man. Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, very God of very God, leaves the glory of eternity with his Father and with the Spirit and comes to this sad planet. He takes to himself humanity. He's now the God-man, one person, two natures. He's come to do helpless sinners good. He's come to break that tie with sin. He's come to break the power of cancelled sin. He's come to wash away the pollution of sin. He's come to set his people free. We were captive to sin, fearing death and hell and judgment. But because the Savior has come, he lived for me a perfect life. He died the death that I deserve. He rose again to prove it's all true. And I look back on those events. The Holy Spirit has woken me up. Repentance towards God whom I've offended. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior. And he has set his people free. Simeon looked ahead, we look back, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. None can believe apart from that unique work of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, the Spirit blows where he wills. You must not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. It can happen to you listening to me. I've gone through the gospel. You've heard it many times. What makes the difference? Why is it that some believe? Why would it be that someone might believe this morning? The Holy Spirit might give you life. And suddenly you can do nothing but repent towards God and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's more here about Simeon, as well as believing those Old Testament promises. Something had been revealed to Simeon directly by the Holy Spirit. Verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it had been revealed to him. Here's a revelation from the Holy Spirit, not through the Bible, but now directly by the Holy Spirit. Not contrary to what the Bible is saying, but something that warmed Simeon's heart. I tell you this, Simeon, those Old Testament promises are going to come true. And that you will see them realized before you leave this little planet. This word revelation, it had been revealed to him, is a very full one, an interesting one as well. Crematizo. It means this: to make answer to those who present inquiries and requests. To make answer to those who present inquiries or requests. Now, Simeon had been patiently waiting, but he'd been patiently active during his waiting. Clearly, he'd been asked him. It's very clear that God had answered him. Oh, Simeon, it will be soon. In fact, it's going to be sooner than you could possibly imagine. Let's look at what Simeon does then, what he did, the encounter itself. What took Simeon at that time, on that particular day, to the temple? He'd been to the temple on many, many occasions, but now, on that particular day, he leaves his home. Whatever he'd been doing, maybe he'd been boiling some rice or some corn or whatever. He'd had a cup of Jerusalem best tea. He's going to have us the Holy Spirit. Get up, Simeon. Get up, Simeon. Put on your shoes. Take off your slippers. Put on your shoes. Put your hat and coat on. Make your way to the temple. The time has come. He puts everything down and he goes and he enters in the power of the Spirit into the temple courts. And the Spirit speaks to Simeon as he enters the temple courts. This is he. Here is the Lord's salvation. And he came, verse 27, in the Spirit into the temple courts. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Simeon has that encounter. Led by the Spirit on that occasion, on that day, into the temple courts, Joseph and Mary come in with the child. The Spirit says, this is he. Children, adults, regular attenders this morning, someone who's maybe just dropped in. You've read about Jesus Christ. You've heard about Jesus Christ. You've read the Gospels. You've read books. You've read the Bible. Is it real to you? What about today? Maybe for somebody there's a special day today. God's divine encounters. Maybe you didn't intend even to watch this morning. Children, maybe you thought you'd be out with mum or dad doing something else because you're normally a little bit naughty perhaps and a little bit disruptive. But today you haven't gone out and you're listening to Uncle Andy as he preaches the Bible. And maybe today it's becoming real to you that Jesus Christ is the one who can free you from sin and help you to soar to know God and to be sure of heaven. For me, it was 1976, one August evening, and sat in a church service, having prayed as I went in, a very weak prayer. God, if you're there, it's obviously important. I'd love to know. I want to know. Help me to know. And in that service, the Spirit working
opening my eyes, unstopping my ears, holy God, sinful me, Jesus Christ the bridge. And as they sang Amazing Grace, the appeal being made, if you want to be saved, come forward. I got up and I went forward. It wasn't the going forward that saved me. I was saved right where I was sitting. It was to the glory of God and His mercy and His grace. That's how it happened to me. Has it happened to you? Happens to Simeon. He sees the Lord's salvation. And then what does he do? Does he go home? No. He embraces the Lord's salvation. And he blesses God and he shouts out a great hallelujah. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. He came, he saw, he took the child in his arms and he blessed God with hallelujahs. Christian, never forget. Never forget that first encounter with Jesus Christ. Never stray from Christ and His cross. Carry on embracing Him. If you're not yet converted, are you seeing it for the first time? Then now is the time to repent. Now is the time to believe. Now is the time to embrace Him and His salvation. If the Spirit is saying to you, this is He. Oh, rejoice. Rejoice. That is a work of God in your soul. Repent towards God and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christian, I don't know how long you've been a Christian. For me, it's 44 years this coming summer. For you, maybe some of you could say, well, it's longer for me or it's shorter for me. Maybe it's a year, maybe it's 5 years, maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 20 years. However long it has been, keep on embracing Him. Stay close to Jesus Christ. Keep it real. Now, my friends, I can't stress this enough. What I was promised in Brisbane, Australia in 1976 was a relationship with the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Religion never held an interest to me and hasn't held an interest to me since, not just dead religion. But the promise of a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, was powerfully drawing. And I will not give that up for anything. I will not settle for religion or mere theology or reading books or getting a head full of knowledge. I must know Christ. I must know Him. He is the only one who can keep me from falling and present me faultless before the throne of grace. If I drift from His embrace and embracing Him, I am bound to fall or become a cold cinder and a sorry representative of what it should mean to be a Christian. Keep things real. I was talking to a member a couple of weeks ago and I said, if you never saw me again, what might you remember from the times that we have talked together and the preaching that you've heard? And it warmed my heart to hear the person say, experimental Christianity. Well, I could die happy. I could die happy. Keep that in focus. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever. What happens to vibrant young believers? Keep Christ and His cross central. I've heard recently very sad stories of two young ministers here in Britain. One is in court at the moment, and no need to go into all the sad, sorry details, but a vibrant, bright, shining believer went on to become a minister and now in desperate, desperate straits. And another one, knowing these two young men personally as well, it becomes very, very poignant, has now left his wife and his children. Ministers of the gospel, is it possible? Yes! What happens? Drifting from the central focus of Christ and His cross. Now, of course, That's not enough, Christ and the cross. I must balance that with an expanding knowledge of the truth. So I need to read and to get to grips with doctrine, but I must never drift from the central focus of Christ. Now we come to a conclusion this morning, what he said. What does Simeon say? Some wonderful, wonderful words. We'll begin them this morning and conclude them next Sunday, God willing. Oh, says Simeon, verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Well, the first thing in conclusion from those words, very, very wonderful, very, very awesome. You can now, O Lord, let your servant depart in peace. Death is defeated in Jesus Christ. Once I come to know him, death is translated from a terror to actually becoming, as the moment approaches, a welcoming friend beckoning me into ultimate realities. In fact, the Bible's constant term for death in the New Testament is that we fall asleep. We fall asleep in the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading a Puritan recently, Samuel Bolton, he had some wonderful words on death. We are freed from death as a curse. The nature of death is taken away, and therefore the name is changed. It is called but sleep, and asleep in Christ, a gathering to our fathers, a change, a departing. Death is the godly man's wish, the wicked man's fear. Another part of our freedom from death is that we will not, listen to this now, we will not die till the best time. Indeed, none will die till God's time. What David said to his enemies, so any man may say, my times are in your hands. But this is not everyone's best time. You may die with Belshazzar while carousing, with Ananias and Sapphira while lying, with a nobleman while unbelieving, with Julian blaspheming. But this is the privilege of the saints. They will not die till the best time. Not till that time when, if they were but rightly informed, they would indeed desire to die. Men cut down weeds any time, but they do not cut down their corn till the best time. You are God's husbandry. The apostle says, you are his wheat. And when you are ripe, when you have done your work, then, not till then, you will be gathered into your master's garner. Oh, now, says Simeon, you are letting your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. My friends, we close with these words again, a challenge to you. Have you seen the Lord's salvation? If not, see him this morning, embrace him. Have you already seen him? Is he still attractive to you? Is he the center and the focus of your life and your little world and your universe? If not, get back. Get back to him being at the center. May you know his warm and loving and kind and gracious embrace. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for a brief time in your word and in singing hymns and in prayers and Bible readings and in exhortations. We pray, Holy Spirit, you might apply what is of you to our hearts. May the dross blow away and be consumed, but maybe what is gold from yourself sink deep into our hearts and change, as we pray, from glory into glory, to the glory of your name. Amen. Well, don't forget, can I just mention this again? Have I mentioned this yet? Zoom at 12 o'clock. Have I mentioned it, Nick? Once or twice. Okay, let me say it again. You'll have the Zoom code, same as last week. please come on. All the family or part of the family, swap around halfway through. There's breakout groups. We've had fellowship with the Father, with His Son, in the power of the Spirit. You've seen me. I haven't seen you. Have pity on me. I'd love to see you as well. Join us at 12. Join us at 8 o'clock if you can as well for some more in-depth discussion on the word that's been preached the last few weeks. Well, let's close with a final hymn. Jesus, it's a prayer, keep me near the cross. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Don't forget the Zoom meeting at 12. Have I mentioned that, Nick? Okay, Zoom meeting at 12 o'clock. Please do sign on.